Do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know about him? I don't mean that. I mean, do you know him? I can. Me and God, we're like that. He likes me. I used to tell my sister, I'm mom's favorite child. And she would say, Mom, is David your favorite? And mom would say, no, I don't have any favorites. And I'd be in the other room going, nodding up and down, it's me. And though so she knows it wasn't true, but I used to just say, it's true. I used to look at my sister and I used to say, you're not my sister anymore. She'd be like, shut up, you can't do that. You can't make me not your sister. I said, sure I can. Look at this. Oh, you're not my sister anymore. She's like, Mom, David says I'm not his sister anymore. My mother would come in and say, you stop saying that to your sister. She's your sister. And I go, yes, Mom, okay. You're not my sister. And so what? It was just to aggravate the poor girl who grew up with me in the house. We're 9 months and 2 weeks apart from each other in age. Yeah. My mom said that was Irish twins. That's what my mom said. I'm not, you know. We know God. God knows what your minister is like, right? You, over time, have gotten to know your minister. You know what he's like. He's let you down, and he's encouraged you. He's got the job done, and he's let the ball drop. You know what you're like. You look in the mirror. Do you know God? Through faith in his word, through faith that has come from his word, through the witness of the Holy Spirit living in us, do you know that God is in you? Now, we live out the righteousness that God puts in our hearts. That's what I'm saying here this morning. You don't want to cheat and sneak around and get away with things anymore, Christian. You're grieved by your old habits that don't want to die, and you're confronted by them when they show up. You welcome correction by a Christian sister or brother who says, hey, looking over, I don't want you to be mad at me, but did you notice? And you say it. We submit to one another in covenant, in membership, in a church, in Alva. Or we cozy up along those people who have gathered in covenant to come and hear what's going on. The choices each person's to make, right? We're being conformed into the image of the Son of God. Do you remember that from Romans chapter 8? Predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. I submit to that. And I know you guys are God's favorite tools in the shed to get the job done. This is the safe place where it happens, where we talk with each other, to each other, sometimes at each other, to get this conforming God's hand on us. God says, I want my church to be like fill in the blank. So we have a church meeting, and we get together, and you say, what is he like? And then at the end of the meeting, you walk away and go, what is he like? You know? And so, I mean, it's a motley crew. And you people wear different color badges in next week in December when you walk into the voting booth. But everyone thinks that God's like them. But we're to be conformed into God's image. And the people who thought God was like them did not accept Jesus Christ. And Paul wishes that they would be saved. And religious people who think God's like me and aren't being conformed into Jesus Christ, do they know God? When we're religious people, do we know God? This is critical stuff. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. So we'll go on to verse 5 now. And look what it says in verse 5. Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands, keeping the law. Verse 6 says, faith's way of getting right with God, which is grace, folks. Faith's way of getting right with God, grace, says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? Does anybody understand that? I mean, really. I just find it difficult. I had to go and open the books of, you know, other people and say, come on, will you help me, Mr. Benson? You know, what? So here's what I want to say about that. You sang it already in church. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. You loved it. You guys got extra loud when that line came through. And here it is. Don't say who's going to go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. Paul says to these people, don't say like the Jews that the Messiah has to come like this. Ha ha ha. I'm the, you know, and kick out the Romans and all that stuff. Don't say that. It doesn't have to be that way. Christ has come, the suffering servant. He died for your sin. Not he has to come like God, and the second coming, I understand, should be like that. But by then it's over. But now Paul's saying, don't wait for, and so here's some examples from Scripture, okay? Here's what in Daniel, who had a vision in chapter 7, so you'll go read Daniel chapter 7. He said, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And so they expected that you would go up to heaven to find God. Native Americans in the United States had a proverb, beware of the man whose God is in the sky. And I think Paul is saying that in Romans chapter 10, in verse, what did I say? 6. Matthew chapter 16, one verse, it says this. One day the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Paul says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven? Show me heaven. Show me a sign. God's so big, why didn't he come down here and show himself? You hear it all the time. But we sometimes think it. I think people who say, I'm just waiting to hear from God before I make a responsible decision. I'm not sure he wants me to get out of bed today. Right? If I put it that way, it sounds silly enough, then suddenly everyone's off the page. Nobody here thinks that way. But do we not get into this kind of like divining moment by moment, God wants me to? You have to make decisions. You have to make responsible decisions. You have to balance your checkbook so that you don't... Do we even have checkbooks anymore? I mean, you're in your overdraft, and then you can't pay your overdraft, and then you're going to Christians Against Poverty to have your creditors discount the receivables so you can get off the hook and not go bankrupt in the name of the Lord, right? That's not responsible. Sometimes it happens. We're not talking guilt and shame over people who the pressures of life have caught hold. I'm talking about responsible decisions, though. And people saying, well, when God speaks, then I, right? Now, we say we're led by the Spirit. But how does that work? Is it always revelation? Does the sun come through the clouds? Do you open a fortune cookie and, oh, there's the answer? Or do you pray, say, God, I need wisdom. And then do you go and make a decision? Because God promises when you pray for wisdom, he gives you wisdom. Now you, with the Holy Spirit in you, be who I made you to be in Christ. Are you saved? You must know it. And now are you an agent of change in the world as God leads you? You have to live it. Predestined to make all these choices that get everything done.